Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage.
You know what that means. It's time for our friends and Kathleen's parents, who are longtime contributors to WCRF, many, many years of ministry here doing My Marriage Matters. This week, we're talking about how to treat each other's families over the holidays. And thanks once again for coming back on the show, Joe and Cindy.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning. So we've been doing this series about how we can treat our family over the holidays with the naughty or nice list. So last week, we talked about in-laws. And this week, we are going to talk about extended family members, so aunts and uncles and cousins. First, second, third, twice removed, all that. So we can
strangers
who come to the house, exactly. So are there ways that you can actually strengthen your marriage through how you treat extended family members?
Absolutely. Well, first, let me just start off by saying I'm so thankful for my in-laws. I mean, from the very first day that I met them, they have been wonderful, very supportive, me being part of that family. So I've been very blessed by those relationships in general. You know, one of the first things we teach pre-married couples when they come to our conference is that they want to pursue harmony with their extended families. And we let them know that they're going to have to get along with both families. So we encourage them to set the stage right then while they're still married, while they're still pre-married, I should say. But because when you get married, it is a package deal. I mean, if you have two families as a rule, of course, if you have a blended family, you're going to have many more relationships that you're going to have to deal with as the years go by. But a golden rule that I have found to be very important to keep in mind as we're dealing with in-laws and extended family members is Romans 12:18, which says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Well, the reality check is that that's much easier said than done. Mm-hmm. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
But one of the best ways to engage with in-laws is really to make sure that you set some healthy boundaries with them. And, you know, very familiar verse as it relates to marriage is Genesis 2:24. I mean, that's a verse that we use to help people understand the importance of pursuing oneness in their marriage. But it's also a very important verse to help us provide healthy boundaries as well. And just as a reminder for your listeners, what Genesis 2:24 says, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, clearly, that's a very important verse as in marriage, for marriage in general, but it also gives us some guidelines in dealing with in-laws. Now, in this passage, I think God really begins to demonstrate first to Adam and Eve and then to every couple that would follow after them how he intended two people to become one flesh. And the first part of that formula for marital oneness involves establishing independence from our parents. But there are two extremes that we have learned over the years that as we pursue establishing independence from our parents. And the first extreme involves understanding that leaving must be done in the context of honor to one's parents. And we need to understand that leaving doesn't mean you disrespect your parents. The word leave here means to break dependence on. There is still to be honor to be extended to our parents, and we are to continue to seek their blessings. And if we could keep that in mind, that by itself would minimize the infamous in-law issue,
mm-hmm.
which brings us to the second extreme to be avoided, and that is to beware of overdependence on parents. You know, oftentimes, the underlying concern when it comes to this infamous in-law issue is really one of loyalty. And loyalty is the value that asks the question, whose side are you on anyways? You know, most of the time, this in-law issue is really a superficial problem, which with loyalty being the basic root problem. So how do you avoid the in-law issue and at the same time strengthen your marriage is to make it very, very clear through your words and through your actions that your loyalty is first and foremost to your spouse. And with that loyalty comes the assurance to your spouse that you will never leave them or forsake them and that you will protect them at all times. Even when the odds and numbers are against you, mm-hmm. during the holidays, your spouse needs to know that you are willing to give your life to them at whatever the cost. I think it's that assurance of loyalty and protection will strengthen your marriage and provide you with very healthy boundaries when it comes to your in-laws.
Great. Now, Mom, we have about 2 minutes until we get to the break here, but how would you say that you've had the opportunity, as you've had the opportunity to interact with Dad's side of the family, what have you done?
Well, let me just step back one moment and just say that his words of loyalty, protection, and support are so important. And that's that whole naughty or nice thing. You know, mm-hmm. Where are we going to go with that over the holidays? Are you going to feel really protected? Because that sure feels nice. In terms of Joe's side of the family, I felt like we had a fairly good relationship with his family. Though I think that there were times we were closer to my side of the family just by nature of help and care for Joey and things like that. But mm-hmm. that's another story. But I'd like to maybe after the break kind of talk about maybe just different personalities, not like in our family per se, but all of our families, and to really be able to talk about, like just for instance, and just kind of stop me because I'm not looking at a clock like you are, so just tell me when you want a break. But I really feel like there's often someone in the family who's sort of drama, and then there's somebody maybe who's moody, or maybe there's somebody who's a gossiper or one who wants to cause division. And I feel like it's really important to go into these situations prepared and kind of know how to counteract things they might say or do. And I think that's just an important aspect, not only in the holidays, but because we are in the holidays, we're talking about it, but anytime that you go to another person's home or that they're coming to your home, even for that matter, you know, how do you prepare for some of these people who are maybe, if you will, going to push your buttons?
And I think every family has that situation and those people. So what are those steps we can take to prepare?
Well, a couple of things. I'll just take a little walk down memory lane to when I was a little girl. And let me just preface it, too, by saying when we're having the holidays or any occasion in our house, we have control over what's happening here. If we go to somebody else's house, we may not have the same influence or control, and therefore it's going to look a little different. But when I was a little girl, I had extended family member, who was going through AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and we all knew that, you know, this person had a problem with drinking. And so my mom and my dad would make it a point that whenever this person was served, they would either serve them ginger ale or coffee. Now, I don't know, I wish I could ask my parents this because I don't know the answer to it, but I don't know if this was sort of what this family member said, hey, just give me ginger ale or coffee. Don't let me ask for something to drink, or don't ask me what would you like to drink. But I thought that was, even as a little girl, I remember thinking that was such a good idea because it didn't give that person a chance to have the temptation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess if it could be pre-talked about, that's even better. I don't know what the situation was. But for our family, that was really helpful. And then I'm sure for that couple's marriage, too, I'm sure that was really helpful to not have someone saying, oh, come on, have one more drink. Now, you know, we're talking about in our family here, we want to celebrate the holidays, celebrating Jesus. And, you know, some families will have alcohol, some families will not. So that's an aspect I think you have to plan ahead, talk about it ahead, and kind of know, you know, who's coming and how that might look if you're a family who happens to serve alcohol or if you go to someone's home who does. But not only that, but just, you know, different attitudes like we mentioned before the break, but the person maybe who's really a drama person or really emotional, or you'll have the life of the party. People want to more often be with that person, but sometimes you have the really loud person. And so, you know, I think the best way to go into it, I don't really have steps 1, 2, 3, but just to go into it prepared and to prepare your own heart to say, well, so-and-so is going to walk in and go, hey, everybody, and you're not ready for it. But you know what? You are ready for it because you've planned. And so you welcome them, you embrace them, and yet you have your own set of rules in your home. One of the things I've really appreciated, no matter where Joe and I go, is that I do feel protected and I do feel supported. So if there were a situation, name your situation, it doesn't matter, that I felt uncomfortable, if I whispered in his ear, I'm uncomfortable about this, we would exit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I would hope that if someone felt that way at our house, that they would do the same thing, but I would hope that that wouldn't be the case because we wouldn't want to ever in our home have that kind of environment, no matter what the situation was. So, you know, when you go into the holidays, go into it with an attitude of expectation that, you know, everyone's going to have a great time, but make you start to be the one who is going to talk kindly to others. Of course, with your husband or your wife, you talk to them ahead of time. How are we going to be prepared when so-and-so brings up politics and we don't really want to talk about that? And we have a comment that we usually say, and that is, that's interesting. And then we don't have to get in, we don't hop into the middle of the fire, you know. Mm-hmm. So it will look different for every family how you'll prepare, but being prepared, having the right attitude is most important, and then knowing how to respond to people, maybe even for your, with your children, and then also as with husband and wife, what's a comment that you would make that's kind, not cutting or, you know, criticizing another, but that you can kind of exit out of a conversation or exit out of a situation when you're really, like, not wanting to go that way.
And also, I think sometimes with the Christmas season, there's this expectation for perfection, and I think just to remember that that's not realistic.
Yes, that's great. Yeah, that's
absolutely
great.
Very good.
Well, once again, we've had some great advice this week from Joe and Cindy Farini with My Marriage Matters. And if folks want to learn more about this, how can they reach out to you?
Well, we'd like to have them come to Facebook at My Marriage Matters. That would be great. And they can leave questions there. But probably even the best way to get a question to us, because it would come directly to our email, is through our website. And that would be through joefarini.com or cindyfarini.com. And we'll either answer your question. We always answer directly if someone emails us, but then sometimes we'll use it on the air or, you know, use it for learning purposes.
Great. Thanks again, you two. Really appreciate your advice. It's fantastic. We'll talk to you again
Thank
next week,
you.
All right?
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank
Have a good
you.
Day. Bye-bye.